Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, December 19th, 2018. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure, I'm glad you could come by. Also joining us today, Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me, too.
Sure, I'm glad you made it by, having still not been caught. So
that's more difficult lately than it ever has been, but there you go.
Well, and part of the reason for that is our first topic today, which is and I assure you, we are recording this on December 19th, 2018. So don't think that we've put an old episode in your feed on accident. Andrew would like to tell us about the latest thing that Facebook did. Take it away, Andrew.
Yes. So the latest Facebook revelations is that apparently they let a bunch of companies like Amazon, Netflix, Microsoft, other big ones, read your private messages. Now, Facebook denies it did so without consent, but I don't remember getting a notification saying, hey, Netflix is going to read your DMs.
Yeah. And not just like, not just Netflix, but loads of people. And here's loads of companies, I should say. The thing that I'm curious about is the other side of that transaction. Like, just because Facebook had made that information available to all of those places, like, they made it all available to Netflix, for example. And was it because Netflix said, you know, we really want everybody's DMs because we really want to know if people are sending Facebook Messenger messages about Stranger Things? Or was it just something where, like, they all got access to something that, you know, that was just configured badly that Facebook didn't mean to give them, that they all ended up having?
So, according to the article I linked to, CNBC, it says that spokespeople for Spotify and Netflix said they were unaware of this power that Facebook had granted them. But I had read another article this morning. I forgot who it was from now. Mm-hmm. But it was strongly showing that Amazon was using this one woman's, one author's, like, they wouldn't let her upload a review of a book because Amazon thought that she was, like, friends with the author because of certain Facebook activity. So that might not be the case that, you know, they had no idea this was going on.
Interesting.
Huh. I'm sitting here mouth agape. like I'm not surprised, but I'm also surprised, right?
No, like, yeah.
Like, I don't even know what to say about this. What? So, well, it goes back to what we already knew, and that is that everything that you say on Facebook is the property of Facebook, and they will do with it as they please. And you should never expect it to actually be private.
Right. And that's a thing that I have wondered about, particularly just even in the public stuff. Right. So I know someone who is on Facebook who was sharing vacation photos. And this was when the friend of a friend can see your stuff wave of information was coming out.
Yeah.
When not everybody realized who all could see what you were posting. So I had to text that person and go, hey, so, you know, you're posting those photos of your trip with your husband, and your husband's kid is friends with you on Facebook. But that means that your husband's ex-wife can see all those pictures because they're friends, too. And it was, oh, my God. Yeah, it was kind of a moment of panic of, like, you know, that's kind of not what I wanted to have happen. And I'm like, welcome to Facebook. You know, and that's been years ago now. But that's, like, one of the examples that sticks in my mind about this. And, you know, neither scenario I laid out is great, whether it was Facebook just handing access out to people to you know, Netflix or Amazon or whoever that didn't know, you know, like, that's pretty bad. But you know what else is pretty bad? Them knowing, you know, Amazon knowing that they had access to all of that information on Facebook. And, you know, I'm almost at the point now, I feel a little bit about like this, like I do about Uber. And Dave, I don't know if you agree with me on this. Like, what's it gonna take? You know, like I remember, you know, remember when I don't even remember his name now. Thank goodness. The guy that was the CEO of Uber that just kept doing stuff. And, you know, there was a point where it was like, what does it take to get fired from Uber? And I kind of feel like this, like, what's it going to take for people to fire Facebook?
That's really hard. I mean, you know, let's rewind a little bit because I think we all can to the AOL days, right? When everybody conflated the internet and AOL, right? AOL was your, I mean, they were your dial-up provider for many people.
Yes.
Right. But even when they weren't, it was still, you know, they had entrenched themselves so much because of them having been a dial-up provider that even once they'd all moved to the web and or to broadband or whatever, lots of people still used AOL as their email and as their on-ramp to the internet, for lack of a more accurate term, right? It was the first page you visited, and everybody thought the internet and AOL were the same thing. Mm-hmm. We are in that world again, except we've replaced AOL with Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, it could change because it did, right? You know, AOL bought Time Warner, and that was
where's your AOL now? Yeah,
exactly. But I think what to answer your question, what it will take is something else coming along. And I'm not sure what that is. There will need to be something. I mean, I think it's fair, and I reserve using this word for things that actually are. Mm-hmm. But I think it's fair to call Facebook revolutionary, right?
Yeah.
It totally changed things again, right? It made the social network thing real. I mean, we could argue that it's the evolution of like news groups and bulletin boards and all of that. Fine, you know, but whatever it is, it was a major change. Mm-hmm. And I think it will take, and so was AOL.
Right.
And I think it will take something equally as revolutionary, or if we don't want to use that word here, evolutionary, but it'll take something revolutionary to pull us away from Facebook. I think so many people don't care about privacy. I don't want to say don't care, are okay with what they think they know, which is probably relatively accurate about lack of privacy on the internet. Mm-hmm. And choose, you know, I always talk about the continuum between privacy and convenience. And most people choose theirs, and we all choose our spot on that continuum. And there's not like one spot. And most people choose one that's far closer to convenience than it is to privacy.
Right.
And
you know, I think it's because there hasn't been
wide open.
There's not a lot of fallout from that yet, though. And I think that's part of it. Like, you know, the thing where every Tuesday, Dave and I have lunch, right? The day it's going to start freaking me out is going to be the day that the Echo Base pops up just before lunchtime and says, "Hey, Kelly, don't you need to be leaving for lunch with Dave?" Even if I don't have a calendar reminder or anything, like at that point, I think it's going to take something like that for people to start really being worried about it. Well, I think it's going to take something like that to get people more aware of what actually giving that stuff up means. Because right now, so far, it hasn't really meant anything except, you know.
I think people will like that. Like, not everybody, but I think by and large, people would love that.
Calendar alert, I will not like it.
I want Jane, right? For those of you that know the Ender's Game story, I would love Jane, an assistant that knows everything that I know and is always on and all of that. Now, I say that, but, you know, I want it with ultimate privacy, too, because holy crap, like this is amazing. But that makes you think better, right? It truly enhances your ability to be a human, right? So, like, I want that. And I think a lot of people want that and perhaps don't share, you know, my privacy concerns about something like that. So I think people will take it. I think that would be okay. I think the thing that needs to happen is it needs to impact people's either actual safety, not perceived safety, I guess is the real thing. But in a material way, it needs to impact your safety or your wallet.
Yeah.
Without that, I don't think this stops.
Right.
If my phone or whatever, I mean, Siri's already doing this at some level. It's like, hey, you know, you're in your car. Do you want to like connect to these things and launch this app and do all this stuff? It's like, yeah, I kind of do. So yeah. Reminding me of lunch on Tuesday, that's cool. Like, you have all that data. That's not weird.
Yeah, but Siri, a lot of the stuff that Siri does for you like that is local. And that's part of why I let her do it.
We know this.
Yeah.
But no one, I mean, it's proven in the market that people don't care about this. And this is why Alexa is way, A-Lady, is way better than Siri, right? For most people.
Yes.
And it's because it's more ubiquitous. It's able to interact with more things because the whole, it only happens on the device because we like privacy and security thing doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. As much with Amazon, you know, so yeah, I don't think the creepiness is it. It's actual or perceived safety, I think, or wallet.
I agree with you 100% that if, you know, if you're trying to warn people off Facebook, that, you know, the first question is not going to be, you know, how did we get here, or what do I do with all my data or anything like that? It's going to be, where do I go? And because at this point, like, Facebook has its own gravitational pull. Everybody's on Facebook because everybody's on Facebook.
You got it.
Like, that's the only reason I have a Facebook account, is because everybody's there. And so if I have some sort of like thing that I need to broadcast to a group of people that I know, that's where I end up having to do it. Yep. You know, it's a slightly different group of people than Twitter, but, you know, like, that's what it is. And so a lot of people have like family groups on Facebook and things like that, so that they can sort of, you know, communicate with people who are not where they are. And Facebook makes that easier because everybody's using Facebook instead of, you know, an iMessage thread for you, which is just a text message thread for your Android using relatives, or you have, you know, relatives who are on flip phones or don't have cell phones at all. And so then they're not part of that conversation or whatever. And it gets, you know, like, that's sort of one of the things that Facebook solves for you, is making it easy for all of you to connect to each other. And, you know, the thing that I always think about when this stuff happens is when Facebook stopped being only for college people, and it was still very new and lots of people were sort of checking it out and kind of going, hey, like, did you know Facebook's not just for college students anymore? And then other people going, what do I need Facebook for? I have MySpace.
Right.
And, you know, like, think about that just for a minute. Like, that was the reaction to Facebook when it first became something that anybody could go get an account at. Yeah. And that's what, that, like, that's always what plays back in the back of my mind when people are like, oh, Facebook, you know, and I'm, you know, why do we need Facebook? We have MySpace. And I'm just sort of hoping that keeping hearing things about how Facebook doesn't respect privacy or user settings or chronological timelines or any, you know, like, I just sort of am hoping that those are the sorts of things that are motivating somebody right now in a garage, to use the stereotype, to build something new that will take over for Facebook so that people have more options.
Yeah.
And really, that's all it is where do I go? You know, like, where do you go off of Facebook? Your options are slim, honestly.
No, there's no option. Facebook's it. I can't, before we leave this topic, I have a tip to share.
Yes.
That circles us back to the beginning. You know, the issue is your Messenger messages are not secure. But they can be if you intentionally do this. So if you launch the Messenger app, and you have to do this on your device, not on the web, and you create a new message on iOS, there's a little icon in the upper right corner. Don't go to a message thread that you've already got with this person that you want to send a message to. You got to create a new one. And when you go and tap the little thing in the upper right, the paper with the pen on it, you will see a list of all the people that you can, you know, send messages to. And now in the upper right of that list is the word secret. Tap that. And now you can pick people that are also using the Messenger app and able to receive secret messages. And these are encrypted end to end. So, you know, there you go. There is a way to make things perhaps way more secure. I as I understand it, I really do believe this is encrypted end to end, and the keys are stored on the device, similar to iMessage.
Okay.
I could be wrong about the extent of that security, but it's at least way more secure than just sending in the clear. Like we do. Yep.
Yeah.
So there you
and
go.
And if you don't have a particular, I'll give you a backup tip to that. If you don't have a particular allegiance to Facebook Messenger, you can use something else to do that. True. Like if you have an iMessage option,
all your friends do.
Yeah. If you have an iMessage option, you can do that. If you want to do a bunch of group stuff, there's Signal, which will allow you to do things encryptedly. So you can, and you can set up group chats that way, which is a very easy thing to do. I've got a number of things happening in Signal that, and it's very easy to use. It's just like any other messaging app. So it's pretty nifty. Telegram is the other one that a lot of people use, I know, for different stuff. So one or the other. So that's an interesting tip. It's entirely possible we will have a link to an article that tells you how to do that in the show notes. If I can get some screenshots later, I'll have to install Facebook Messenger to do that, but I think that might be okay in this case. So in the meantime, I want to go ahead and move on and tell all of you about our sponsors. Our first sponsor today is Opsgenie. Opsgenie empowers dev and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during unplanned incidents. Teams have the power to respond quickly and efficiently, and you can make sure that the right people get notified thanks to integration with lots and lots of services. It's really important, especially today, because alerting is the critical step that helps make sure everything is happening as it should. And with everything, you know, web applications all over the place are more complex than ever. And incidents require coordination between a number of different teams, whether those incidents are planned or unplanned. Teams have the power to respond quickly and efficiently, and you can also make sure that the right people get notified because there's integrations with lots and lots of different services. If you visit opsgenie.com, that's OPSGENIE.com, you can sign up today to get a free company account and add up to 5 team members. Our second sponsor today is JamfNow, and JamfNow helps you set up, manage, and protect your Apple devices on demand. You log into their web dashboard, and you can get loads of information from the devices you have set up there. Those are macOS devices and iOS devices, so everybody getting new hardware for Christmas, you can make sure those things are all set up and registered with JamfNow, and then you're able to monitor those things remotely, even if you're not in the same place as the person or the device. You can check on things like the operating system version. You can make sure you've recorded the serial number, which is available there. And you can also manage email settings, Wi-Fi settings, and lots more. 3 devices are supported for free, and additional devices are $2 a month. Head over to the Jamf website at jamf.com/TDO and sign up for your free account today. Now, the other thing we wanted to talk about today is 5G, which is an interesting idea, because right now it's really only an idea, except for if you have a particular Wi-Fi hotspot and that Wi-Fi hotspot is available through a particular company, right, Dave?
Correct. Yeah, Netgear's got one now. They're the only ones, I think, that have a Wi-Fi hotspot, at least that works with AT&T's 5G, so...
Right, because AT&T is the only one that's offering 5G at the moment that consumers can use in the U.S.
Yeah, that consumers can use. Yeah, and only in a few cities right now. But that will continue to roll out. It's, I think, what, Dallas, Waco, and Andrew, you've got the last one.
Well, there was 12 cities, actually.
Oh, and okay.
They're going to be rolling out with more. I don't know the full list, but yeah, there's Dallas, Houston, no, I don't think Seattle, other places, but yeah.
I've got, yeah, Atlanta, Charlotte, North Carolina, Dallas, Houston, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Florida, Louisville, Kentucky, Oklahoma City, New Orleans, Raleigh, North Carolina, San Antonio, and as I mentioned, Waco, Texas. So yeah, and that's live as of yesterday, I think. And then there's more coming. Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Nashville, Orlando, San Diego, San Francisco, and San Jose. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, I know that 5G has been talked about on the show here, is that at least initially, the real intention that I understood for 5G was broadband to the home, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Where you'd have essentially instead of your cable modem or your Fios modem or whatever, you would just have a 5G receiver that got your internet connection wirelessly and then connected to like a Wi-Fi router mm-hmm. that would broadcast that signal throughout your home, just like it does with your cable modem or whatever. So think about it similar to the way satellite worked, right? An over the air internet stream to your home, and then you share that internally. Of course, differently than satellite, there's much lower latency on 5G and much higher speeds.
Yes.
The interesting part about this initial rollout is that they're doing it with the Netgear's new, they call it the Nighthawk 5G mobile hotspot. Mm-hmm. And the weird part about that is it is not for that. It is a mobile portable hotspot that has a 5G receiver in it. And then a Wi-Fi, it's a Wi-Fi hotspot, just like a MiFi years ago that you would okay. get, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's that kind of a thing. You can get these things that work with LTE. Now you can get one that works with 5G. And then that's where the odd part sort of comes in. And I talked to Netgear about this recently. And the part that doesn't make sense is 5G probably isn't going to work all that well inside buildings. It really only works outside. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not sure I get that we need to have something that people can use and test and like, that's cool. But I feel like the use case for this is going to be pretty limited just because of, you know, the restrictions of that. This is not built to be used as broadband to your home, though mm-hmm. you could probably, you know, jury rig it to make that happen. But yeah. So there you go. So, hey, the good news is it's happening, which means a year from now, it will be way different than it is, right? Like
right.
The floodgates are open. So that's, to me, that's the most exciting part about this. And 5G, I think 5G in and of itself is really interesting to me because, you know, I've got people that'll say, well, what do we need all that more? Like, we've already got plenty of speed. It's like, yeah, that's true. When digital cell phones first rolled out, we had plenty of speed for what we used them for, which was, mm-hmm. you know, digital voice conversations, essentially VoIP conversations wirelessly. That was great. Yeah. We didn't need any more speed.
Right.
But now we do things like video conference over them. Mm-hmm. And the only reason we can do that is because we have more speed. So this is one of those things where, I mean, there's lots that can be done if we had more speed. And right. so, yeah, like, no, we won't do the thing. I mean, yes, we will. We'll be able to browse web pages faster. Cool. You know what? They're already pretty, like, they're fast enough for the most part.
Yeah.
And this will make it better. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's cool. What I'm curious about is the second tier rollout, because honestly, to me, that sounds pretty confident. Because they're adding San Francisco and San Jose.
Yeah.
To the and I know, like, if they were any more confident, then those would have been in the first group of cities to roll out. But I think they're rolling it out to see how rollouts work, what happens with everything, how, you know, learn all of the technical stuff. And then once they've got deployment figured out, then they can go drop it in San Jose and see what happens. And I'm very interested to see, because like you said, Dave, like this is sort of a mixed signal kind of a thing. Like, you know, the point of this is to the point of the little Netgear puck is to be like a MiFi that you carry around with you and have Wi-Fi hotspots with. But that's not necessarily what 5G is supposed to be best at. But also 5G isn't great inside at this point, so it feels a little confusing right now.
Yep, I haven't tested it yet. I haven't been anywhere that I could use one. You know, but I'm a geek, so I'm curious about this stuff. And I think that's kind of who it's for, is, you know, the cutting edge / bleeding edge people. Let's see where it goes. Right? I mean, that's the good news. Like I said, is if we're getting this stuff into the hands of people that aren't just the ones building it. So like, that's good. Let's see what happens. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. What do you think, Andrew?
What Dave was saying before, maybe we just need the killer 5G application to be able to use all that speed. One interesting example I had heard about was, as autonomous cars become more and more prevalent and common, each car will need to be able to communicate with each other in real time, or
here I come, slow down,
real time as possible. So 5G would be great for that.
See, I like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, although I would think that in order for us to truly get there, we need the cars to talk peer-to-peer to each other and not rely on, you know, a radio tower to sure. to facilitate yeah. that. I mean, certainly that should be part of it so that cars can communicate en masse and we've got like the groupthink happening. But in terms of like all the cars around me, I don't want that tower to be the linchpin here.
In the no, scenario. You really don't.
Right. I mean, they need to be able to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. If we're going to have them talk to each other, you know what I mean? Like it's gotta yeah. be peer to peer. Yeah. Some kind of Bluetooth esque mm-hmm. kind of thing, you know, or yeah. whatever. But I mean, right. like, that tech is also totally possible. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's exciting. It's fun.
But also the idea of being like with the cars being able to phone home because there's the short,
sure.
the short wave of it, you know, the LAN, I guess, of an automated car is like, here I come, slow down. And then there's like the WAN application of where is my car or, yeah. you know, where's my delivery or yeah. where's my food kind of stuff. And so when you're doing those things, it seems like that's where 5G would come. That was the first thing I thought of with, you know, 5G coming in really handy is like find my friends, but for my car. You know, yeah. like whatever the automated thing is, or, you know, if you run a delivery service and you have a number of automobiles that are part of that delivery service, you want to be able to see where all of them are at any point, and being able to whip up that dashboard is going to be a lot easier if you have something like 5G that allows them to do that effectively. And I would imagine it also is slightly more accurate than 3G, 4G. And so it would be a very interesting application of that. I hadn't even thought about cars. I was just going to make a snide joke about how whatever comes after Facebook is going to run out of 5G and that's why we're going to need it. So, I like the idea of the automated cars being a way to do that. If you have an idea of what you think 5G would be a great application for, our listeners, we would love to hear from you. You can get us on TMO Daily over at Twitter. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can also swing by iTunes and leave us a review there. It helps us find new people and it helps new people find us. I would like to thank both of you for being here today. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Kelly.
And thanks, yeah, Andrew, thanks for coming by. And that's going to do it for today, Wednesday, December 19th, 2018. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other.